Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm thankful for all of our visitors, amen, for our ministers, my honor bearers, ushers, everybody in their respective places. And I'm not going to be before you long, amen. This is going to be a quick message, amen. And for those who are here on the first time, I'm probably not your typical pastor, because I know that on certain holidays, Easter, Christmas, Mother's Day, you expect a Mother's Day message. I don't have no Mother's Day message. I just got a straight word. Amen. But I am grateful. I'm thankful for every mother. I keep saying that. I do want to honor you all on today. And I say that because it's hard raising children. Amen. I believe there is nothing like, next to God, there is nothing like a mother's heart. Amen. Amen. We know that God loves us more than anybody else ever could, but mothers love differently than fathers. They love differently than siblings. And so I'm going to be in Jeremiah 42 on today, and the Lord has given me the title, Don't Run. Amen. And I know that we have some first-time visitors, some second-time visitors, so I have to give you a little context. I've been preaching out of the book of Jeremiah for the majority of the year, and it is a very long book, so I'm in chapter 42. And I feel the Lord bringing this little unofficial series to an end. Amen. But the whole book of Jeremiah, it revolves around this prophet who is basically prophesying to God's people that God is going to punish the people and destroy the city of Jerusalem. Not because God doesn't love them, but because God is trying to break them from their sinful ways. And the more Jeremiah preaches, the more the people harden their hearts, the more they close their ears. Amen. And so the majority of the book, this is Jeremiah's message. His message is to get them to turn back to God and to get them to understand that they can't escape what God is trying to do, because the things that God is trying to do, he's doing them for a reason. Amen. But we're getting towards the end of the book. Even with this difficult message, Jeremiah is often a book of hope, because in the end, Jeremiah tells them that even when God brings this punishment or he brings this correction, it's not to destroy, but it's to save, that he's going to leave a little bit left, that the people will return, that they will be rebuilt again, that they will be restored, that even though it might hurt, it's not going to be the end. Right, Jeremiah 29:11 is a verse that a lot of people know about God having a hope and a purpose for his people, right? We often quote that, but we don't talk about the stuff that surrounds that 29th chapter in that 11th verse. But I've been preaching this whole book, right? I've been preaching this whole book, and it's a very difficult book. I woke up this morning and I'm kind of like, God, I'll kind of be happy when I'm past this, but you got me in this book. I'll kind of be glad when I'm able to preach something else, but you have me here right now. For those who don't know, Jeremiah is often known as the weeping prophet, right? Because imagine spending the majority of your life telling people things that they don't want to hear. Imagine spending the majority of your life having to weep or say difficult things that people don't want to hear. That's not when you telling people things that they don't want to hear. That's not going to make them love you. That's not going to make them want to, like, they were trying to avoid Jeremiah. Yeah. That's a very lonely walk. And that's why I say, God, I kind of be ready when you let me switch and I can preach something a little bit different, right? But in this season, he has just had me in Jeremiah and he's had me in Lamentations. And so today he has given me the title, Don't Run. Don't Run. And I have a question for you all, and it's not for you to ask about other people or try to figure out who I'm talking about. I need you to ask this question to yourself. You know, how many times have you tried to run? Right? How many, you know, what are you running from? You know, there have been times, I remember my first year in college, I was at Albany State, and I was unhappy, so I blamed the college, and I tried to run to Atlanta. I'm going to go to school in Atlanta and that's going to make it better. But the thing is, you can't run from yourself. Whatever problems you have in one spot, you're going to take them with you when you go somewhere else. You can't run from the things that God is trying to do in your life. And so in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is prophesying to these people, and he's telling them that you can't run from the things that God is trying to do. But they thought that they could run. Jeremiah was telling them that the Babylonians are going to come and they're going to destroy the city. So in their mind, well, I'll just run to another city. Right? I'll escape what God is trying to do to me in this place by running somewhere else. I'll run to Egypt. Egypt is stronger. And if you know anything about the word, what Egypt represents is the world. Sometimes God is trying to do stuff in our life, and we try to run from it. And the very place we run to is the world, right? We run to the arms of a man. We run to the arms of a woman. We run to a bottle. We run to food. We run to the club. And I'm not trying to pick that one little thing. It's all running. I don't care what it is. It's all running. It's all in the same category. We try to run to the things of the world. It might be your job. It might be more money. It might be if I only had the bigger house, I could escape. But that's the thing. You can't run from yourself, and you definitely can't run from the things that God is trying to do in your life. So in the 42nd verse, in the 42nd chapter, the people have decided, I'm going to run to Egypt. And they were contemplating whether they should make this move because they felt like Egypt's army was just as strong as Babylon's army. So Egypt's army can protect us from whatever is coming. But that's the thing. There is nothing strong enough to help you escape the call of God that's on your life. Right? Your friends can't, and when God got something for you to do, your friends, like you can go to go and be surrounded by people telling you, girl, you ain't got to do all that. You're going to be miserable. No matter how much consensus you have in the world, you can't escape the call and the tug that God has on your life. You can't outrun his love. Even sometimes when it doesn't feel like love, it's still his love because he's trying to save you. You can't outrun it. Right? And a lot of times we're trying to drown it out. That's all drugs and all that stuff. You trying to drown out the feeling, that empty void you have in your life.
Right.
And that's really God, that emptiness that you feel, that's really God trying to say, I'm here. I can take this thing away from you. I can fix this thing in you. But we try to run from that. You ever been around a person who don't know how to be loved? Like when people try to get close to them, they have a wall up. They have a wall up, and they won't let people in because they've been hurt by the word. Y'all understand?
Yeah.
So they're trying to run. They push that love away. Now, if we do that in the natural, how much more do we do that in the spiritual? We try to run. Right? I'm talking to everybody, right? That's why sometimes you have that feeling like, you never enough. You never good enough. You can't never do enough. It's still all those feelings is a void. And we trying to run. Even in the church, you can be saved. You still trying to run, thinking you got to run and go be busy and do something else. God is like, don't run. Stay right in that thing.
Yeah.
Here's the visual that I had when God was giving me this word. Imagine that you are in a house. And God tells you a tornado is coming. And it's going to knock your house down. It's going to rip the roof off. It's going to knock it down to its foundations. But you're going to live. You're going to live. But this tornado is going to knock your house down. And it's going to destroy everything around you. A lot of us going to say, man, I ain't staying here for that. If I know the tornado coming, I don't want to be in that storm. God, you gave me a warning. You told me it's coming. Why would I stay in this house? So you decide I'm going to run. I'm going to run, and I'm going to run into this other house that's in Dawson. I'm going to run into this other house, not knowing the house in Dawson going to be burned down and you ain't going to live. We missed the second part of what God said. He said, even though this thing is going to be knocked down, you are going to live.
Yes. Amen.
That's the part that's supposed to give you hope so that you won't be afraid.
Yes.
You are going to live. We just hear the storm is coming. And we try to run. That's the story of Jeremiah. That the storm is coming, but you are going to live. Now, I need y'all to apply that. Sometimes in your life, there are going to be things going on around you. Your children are going to be cutting up. Your finance is not going to be right. People around you are dying. Right, we talking about Mother's Day. There, with all the worry in the world, there is nothing that you can do that's going to protect your children. You don't have a heaven or a hell to put them in. With all your mothering love, the only thing that you can do is try to instill hope in them. Is try to instill the word in them so that when the storm of life comes, When other people have more influence in your children's life than your own voice did, even though you pushed them out your own womb, when other people, all you got to hope is that the seed, is that the word, is that what I instilled in them when they was babies, that eventually that word rises up in them.
Yes.
And it's louder than every other noise that the world is saying to them. You can't run from your problems. You can't drink them away. You can't smoke them away. You can't shop them away. You can't eat them away. You can't sex them away. You can't work them away. You can't run from your problems. God is telling us today, don't run. Don't run. I know it's hard. I know stuff is crumbling. I know you may feel like you may lose your mind, but you haven't lost it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It may feel like you losing your mind, but you haven't lost it. Don't run. Don't run. Stay in it. Stay in it with the Lord.
That's right.
Right? There's a song that say, by and by, when the morning comes, right? We gonna understand it. No, you might not understand it. The people in jail, they couldn't understand. They couldn't understand why a God who loves them would allow this to happen. But God said, I gotta allow this to happen because all the things that you have put before me can't save you. They can't save your soul. I'm trying to break you from that. I'm trying to break your dependency on people. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to watch this now. I'm trying to break your dependence on your family. I'm not telling you not to love your family. I'm not telling you not to love your mama, not to love your dad. But guess what happened when mama ain't here and you don't have no relationship with the Lord? Now you sad. Now you depressed. Now you in a hole that you can't get out of.
Because
mama and daddy were the ones who were holding you up, and every decision that you made in your life was to please them. And now they're gone, and you feeling like, well, what's my purpose? What am I here for? I don't have nobody. That's not true. You were not put here for them. You were put here for the glory of God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
God said, don't run.
Yes, Lord.
God is saying, I'm trying to break your dependence. I'm trying to break your dependence on alcohol.
Yes.
Break your dependence on you gotta feel, you gotta always be in a relationship. Or you always gotta be the center of attention. You not the center of attention. God is the center of attention.
Yes.
So he says, I have to allow these things to happen to you in order for you to really be saved. See, we think that being saved means you being saved from your problems. Right? You being saved from suffering. You being saved from trial and tribulation. That's not what it means to be saved. To be saved means that sin no longer has a grip on you. That what the enemy tries to do no longer works. That whether you live or you die, you're going to be all right. You're going to go be with God. That's what it means to be saved.
Yes, yes, yes.
I ain't even read yet.
Hallelujah.
Jeremiah 42:10.
Yes, yes.
The word says, Jeremiah tells the people, stay here in this land. If you do, I will build you up, not tear you down. See, the thing, using that analogy, you in this house and the tornado coming. Even though the house is destroyed, God said you're going to live. But God is saying, I can rebuild a house. Right? I can rebuild a house. I can repair the foundation. Right? The house that I'm about to knock down is a little shack. Right? But the reason I'm trying to knock this little shack down is because I want to put a mansion on it. Right? And the mansion that he builds are not made by him. The quality, the workmanship is better. But all you hear is, I'm about to lose this little house. I'm about to lose this little shack about to be knocked down. But the life that he's trying to give you is abundantly and exceedingly more than anything. We so scared to lose that little thing. We so scared to lose that little thing. He says, stay here in this land. Y'all got to understand the land that he's referring to is the promised land. So quickly will we leave the promised land to run to the world. But your promise is back here. You don't have no promises in the world. The Bible says the only thing that isn't in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. It's pain and suffering. All your promises are with God. So when you run away from God, you running from everything, your inheritance, everything that belonged to you as a child of God. That's what you're running away from. God say, don't run. Stay here in this land. If you do, I will build you up and not tear you down. I will plant you and not uproot you. Do y'all understand why they plant palm trees by the beach? Because when the hurricane comes, the palm trees don't get knocked over like these pine trees that we have. The palm trees bend. They bend with the storm. When you are with God, the storm, the Babylonians, it don't matter. They can't take you out. They can't take you out. God say, if you stay, I will plant you and not uproot you. For I am sorry about all the punishment that I have to bring upon you. Understand that even when it's hard, that thing does not make God happy. God, it does not make God happy to see you suffering. It does not make God happy to see you going through a difficult time. But God, he's like, I have to, like, you won't know the goodness of God. You won't know what the redemption or the saving of God feels like. For example, you don't know, you can't tell the difference between hot and cold if the other one didn't exist. You don't know what it feels like to be warmed if you've never been cold. So it doesn't please God for you to go through something, but he's trying to get you to see that you need a savior, right? You go through life and then all of a sudden, your eyes talk to my son, listen to his testimony. You realize, this is what life is like on the other side? I ain't got to be in no toxic relationship. I ain't got to fuss and fight. The neighbors ain't got to call the police on me. I ain't got to be locked up. I don't have to have DUIs or be on probation. I can have a wife that loves me. I can have peace in my home. We can walk in one accord. This is what life is like on the side with Jesus. Right? But you can't appreciate that, right? If God don't let all that, like if he just let you do live how you want to live and nothing ever happened, there's never any consequence for living outside of his will. You're going to think you're all right. You're going to think that's what life is all about. But it's not. The 11th verse, Jeremiah says, do not fear the king of Babylon anymore, says the Lord, For I am with you and will save and rescue you from his power. You don't have to fear the enemy. Right? Right? God does not have coward soldiers.
That's right.
This is another reason he's telling you don't run. Yes, that thing may look scary. Right? Goliath looked scary. He was huge. Right? He was standing before God's armies. And they were afraid. But when David, a little shepherd boy, but when David, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Saul even said, here, take my armor, take my sword. David said, I don't need all that. Just give me 5 smooth rocks. David says, I'm not afraid. I'm not going to run. Some of us get so afraid.
Glory.
That's why they end up wandering 40 years. They were afraid of the giants that they saw in the land. But God's message has always been the same. Don't run. I am with you. You don't have to fear the king of Babylon. I am with you. I will save and rescue you from his power. I will be merciful to you by making him kind so you will stay here in your land. When the Bible talks about God hiding us under the shadow of his wings. When Proverbs talks about God's gift, the gifts that he places in us, making room and bringing us before kings. Even at the worst part in your life, talk to my minister, listen to her testimony. Even when she was going through one of the roughest patches in her life, God kept exalting her. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense how I could be going through it on my home and getting exalted on my job, being celebrated on this side, right? Because what the enemy was trying to do to take her out was not working. God was still encouraging her on the other side. You don't have to run.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to run. God says, I will make him show mercy. My pastor used to say the devil can only do what God allows. See, that's going to mess somebody up. Because you're going to say, why would God allow it? Right? Because he's trying to refine you. Right? Right? He can only do. The devil is on a leash. The devil is on a leash. He can only do what God allows. We give him too much power. We give him too much credit.
Yes, true.
But that 13th verse, it says, but if you refuse to obey the Lord your God, and you say, we will not stay here. Instead, we will go to Egypt, where we will be free from war, the call to arms, and hunger. How many of y'all ran to the world and the world was better? I remember nights where I'd be out, I'd be having so much fun. Me and my friend, that thing be so much fun. The next morning, I'd be sick as a dog. Sick as a dog. Falling asleep on the side of the toilet. Just laying. Because ain't no point in getting in the bed because you're going to have to get up again. Just sleeping on the bathroom floor. Right? You have a hard day, and that's where you run. Right? So God's people, they decided, like, I can't stay here. I don't want to go through what the Lord is trying to take me through, so I'm going to run. And if I run, I'll be free from struggle, right? I'll be free from war. I won't have to fight no more. Right? I won't have to fight no more. I won't be hungry anymore. But how many times have you been in a room with some of the closest people you know and still felt alone? And still felt alone. There's nothing for you in the world. You can run to the world, but there's nothing there for you. Them same people who in that one moment, right? I used to have them friends, right, or people that were cool with me until I didn't have enough to put in on the weed. Then now they not answering the phone no more.
Uh-huh.
As long as I was the one paying,
they over there hop for you there.
Amen. Right. It's the same thing. As long as you the one showing up for everybody, you the good time, you pouring out, you doing everything, right? You're doing everything. You taking care of the family. You helping them figure out how to get their car fixed. You giving money on the bills. Right? But when it's time for them to show up, right? And you thinking, but that's my friend. No, that's the world. Even when Jesus' own mom and brother walked up and they're like, Jesus, they're on your mom and stuff. Jesus say, my family are those that keep my commandments. Jesus say, if you don't leave mama and dad and all of that, you're not worthy to follow me. Right? And he's not telling us not to love our family, but he's making a clear distinction that you have to be dependent on me. They thinking they gonna run. I'm almost done. Get ready. They thinking they gonna run. We gonna be free. No more war, no more arms, no more hunger. And so Jeremiah says, hear the Lord's message to the remnant. The remnant means those that are left over. Hear what the Lord of heaven's army, the God of Israel, says. He says, if you are determined to go to Egypt and leave there, if you are determined to live in the world, the very war and the very famine you fear will catch up to you. You can't outrun fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. The fear is in you. You can't run from it. The fear of death. Some of us scared because we don't know where we're going to go when we leave here. Perfect love. The love of Jesus will cast that fear out your heart. You will be able to live out your life and not worry about where you're going to spend tomorrow. Perfect love casts out fear. He says, but if you are determined to go to Egypt and leave there, the very war and famine you fear will catch up to you and you will die there. That is the fate awaiting every one of you who insist on going to live in Egypt. Yes, you will die from war, famine, and disease. None of you will escape the disaster that I bring upon you there. And what God is saying through Jeremiah, and I'm done, Ethan. What God is saying through Jeremiah in those verses is, if you stay, like you, we are in the world, but we are not supposed to be of the world. When you stay on the side of Jesus, you are covered. You are protected. You are sealed. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Right? When you are on the side of Jesus, nothing can touch you. What can take you out of the hand of God? Nothing.
Not even death.
But when you are in the world, you are naked. You are unprotected. You are exposed. You are vulnerable.
Really?
And when God destroyed the world and you in the world, there's no escape from that. And so today, God is simply saying, don't run. Whatever test, whatever trial, right? No matter the weight, no matter what it feel like, no matter what it look like, no matter how many times they hurt you, no matter how many times they turn their back, don't run. Stand on the word. Stay with God. And don't just do it mentally. Just don't say, God, I know you say, so I'm going. Like, no, with your whole heart. I believe this with my whole heart. I believe with my whole heart that you're going to rescue me, that you're going to redeem me, that this what I'm going through is not unto death, that a better day is coming, that weeping may endure for a night, but that joy is coming in the morning. With your whole heart, not just with your mind, but with your whole heart, that God has a plan for my life. You can't just believe that when times are good. You got to believe that when times are bad. And you got to make up your mind that I'm not going to run from this thing. I'm not going to run from the difficult conversations. Right? I'm not gonna run when people turn from talking to people because they in error and I'm trying to correct. I'm not gonna run from that. I'm gonna stand on the truth. Amen. 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 Amen.